Okay, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
So if you're looking for the latest on the greatest sport in the world, as well as some hot opinion, interviews, entertainment, all that other good stuff, you come to the right place. Mad About Football.
Listen to my puppy show and don't miss a part. No eating, no drinking, and no peeing their pants.
Hello, children. Black Jack Johnson, NYC, R-O-C-K-I-N-G, sun and the moon, earth, stars, and planets, before it's all done, y'all gon' all understand it, like, ha, the Hades can't fuck with it, cause they mom and they sister and
get talking is soccer-loving podcast on the internet, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for joining us here tonight. And or listening to us here tonight, I should say. And I am George Metellus. We got our usual support, usual, you know, crew here. Juan Arango, el capo canonieri of Colombia, joining us on the phone. We got El Pibe de Oro, Mike Lopez. Gentlemen, say what's up, guys. What's up?
What's up? How's everyone doing, man? Glad to be back.
All right. And then, of course, helping us out, are you guys... The usual suspects always welcome contributors and dropping great knowledge for us here on the show. Mr. Carter Krishnar.
It's like there are informants.
Yeah, for real. Yep, for real. It's like they're the CIA. They give us what we need to know, for sure. Mr. Carter. Yep. Carter Krishnar, how you doing?
I'm doing well, folks. How are you?
Good. We're all good here. Happy that you're on. And then, of course, from Own Goal Network, City of Our Weekly, up in Toronto, eh? Mr. Kevin Walker. Kevin, how's everything?
It's always a privilege to be on this lovely channel of yours, boys.
And you're giving us a non-South Florida perspective. He shouldn't be part of the club up there in Canuck Land.
That's right.
Do you realize we had...
to make me feel bad because I feel like I'm a black hole of U.S. soccer, man.
No, that's true. That's true. Juan is in the worst possible place. That's why he's getting out of there.
Yeah, exactly. Thank goodness. Oh, my God, dude. You know, the big thing going on up here is the Red Sox and the Rock Cats. You know, and that kills you, dude.
What is the Wildcats? Who are the Wildcats?
The Rock Cats are the Minnesota Twins double-A affiliate.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that sucks.
That's
exciting. Yeah.
Thrilling stuff, man.
Wow.
Oh, my God, man. People here, man, they go crazy, man.
Can I take
man.
Your spot?
Huh?
Can I take your spot?
Hell yeah. You can come and do whatever you want, dude.
I think I'm more than happy. I think
the
key word when you're in that kind of situation is masturbation.
Blow your head off?
That's just the key word right there.
Oh,
you know,
God,
and everything
God.
Else.
Oh, no. I'm beyond that now, man.
Listen, yeah. Everybody.
I'm beyond that. At this point, man, that's something you do, you know, just to try and stay awake.
Oh, keep yeah. warm. One of those
huh?
Things.
Nah, you just do it because you're bored, man. It's like, there's enough to do.
Oh, okay.
Now, gentlemen, don't get started. I'm going to have to play that whip sound file for you.
Uh-oh,
Oh,
all right, gentlemen. Let's get back to the football here, because you know it's starting to deteriorate a little bit here.
Yeah, man. I don't know what you've been thinking. You know, down in Miami. I mean, you know, come on. That's what you're thinking down in Miami, man. You really need to get out, George.
No, I'm straight. I got somebody who does that for me. But anyway, We'll move on. Nobody wants to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about, gentlemen, you know, tons of football this weekend was the final weekend of many of the big leagues. We'll start with that first, and then next segment we'll get into World Cup qualifiers in all over the world, basically here, CONCACAF and CONMEBOL, because, I mean, let's face it, UEFA World Cup qualifying is a joke.
You're not compelled by the Andorra matchup, George? I mean, it's massive. Andorra's coming to Wembley. I mean, just people are all fired up about that in the old country. I'm surprised you're not fired up by mighty Andorra.
I just for some reason, it's kind of like the Minnesota Twins double A ball.
Andorra's like, know, rookie league. I mean, double A looks good.
I was really excited. I was really excited about, you know, last year when Kazakhstan went to England. Remember that? Come on, that's something that you got absolutely.
Yeah, you heard. You know, Borat was the head cheerleader that day, so it was all good.
Actually, oh my God! If he was head cheerleader, what was it? What were the team uniforms like?
Those little yellow thong bikinis.
Yellow thongs, yeah,
man. Oh,
all right.
He should have shaved his legs.
Oh, at least some nair, anything, for real. let's start with La Liga, first of all, here. Year ended, obviously, Barcelona, we knew. They were the champions of La Liga. They wrapped that up 3 weeks ago. Gentlemen, let's start with Mike. Mike, what were your impressions of La Liga this season, how it ended, and, you know, with some of the recent news that went down? What were your impressions?
The overall La Liga season?
Yeah, overall, and what, you know?
That's pretty easy, man. It's just, it was Barcelona's dominance, basically. It got a little bit close towards the end where Madrid got it to 6 points. I think it was even 5 points. But Barcelona's play was just almost perfect, impeccable. And I think that's what basically defined the whole season. As far as Madrid, well, we got some work to do, bro. You know, Pellegrini has to work a little bit of his magic there to get Madrid back afloat. And everything else, I really didn't find any surprise. I mean, Villarreal was in it. Sevilla got their Europe spot, and Valencia as well. So that's my take on it.
What about
now?
You,
now, which? Okay.
Oh no, go ahead, Juan. Go ahead.
Now, which Pellegrini do you start to look at when more Villarreal, or is it the one? For River, we got Argentina.
Well, Madrid hopes that it's a Pellegrini from Villarreal.
Yeah.
That's why they hired him.
Well, you guys are on the ball.
Well, I mean, if you could, he has to be the Villarreal one, right? I mean, look what he did with the limited budget that Villarreal has. I mean, if he can, with the endless budget, or, you know, that Real Madrid has, you know, it might just be a matter at this point of, you know, fusing the talent with the coaching. Because in the last 2 or 3 years, especially after Capello left, they really haven't had that right fusion to make it happen, especially in Europe. So I think Mike is right there. Hopefully it's the Villarreal one. What about you, Kardik? What was your take on La Liga this year and what went down?
I think that you really saw Barcelona kind of energized by dumping the dead weight that they did in over the summer with Deco and Ronaldinho and the coaching change. Juan de Ramos gave Madrid a bit of a boost, definitely, when they brought him in, when Schuster left. And I was very, very impressed with how Villarreal closed the season this season. After really struggling in the middle of the year, but this La Liga season was all about Barca, and we really didn't have a title race, especially after the 6-2 match. And you have to tip your hat to everything they did, winning the first domestic treble in Spanish history, or at least modern Spanish history.
Oh, what was your take about La Liga this year, Kevin? What did you think?
You know, there's a couple things here. Surprisingly, Valencia and everything that was going on with them off the pitch, and then for them to really not to swim and not sink. That was that was something that was unexpected for me. It's not that they didn't have good talent. Obviously they did, but everything else that was coming into play there, you had to wonder if it was going to be like a jump ship sort of situation, like what happened to Lazio or what happened to Juventus in Serie A a little while back. Another thing is I just wanted to throw out to the panel their opinions of Batiste going down. Real Batiste
back on.
They didn't on the last day they weren't successful in staying up, and they really lost out to Getafe on goal differential. So surprising to see such a well-known club in Spain end up on the bottom of the heap and they're out of the league. So they're going down to Segunda Division. Some changes definitely at the top now with the new president. I'm surprised that you guys caught that. I thought that news was only released in the evening, but you're obviously getting all the news reports. Zidane is also going to be making a reappearance at the Capital side as a top advisor. Any opinions on that? I would have to ask everybody else here.
Well, as far as Betis going down, that's it's a bit of a surprise, but I think I believe it was last year. It was either last year or 2 years ago. They almost went down too. They barely made it. They barely stayed afloat. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but in recent times they've had struggles where they barely stayed up. So when you consider that Gijón was really recently promoted, had 23 losses and they stayed up, that definitely was a surprise in that respect. And then you figure Zidane, I mean, anything you can do to bring Zidane into your organization, even, I mean, let's be real here, whatever administrative position he'll have, it'll probably be something for show. I don't know how much power and how much influence he'll really have, but...
Well, he's only coming in as a consultant pretty much, so I mean, he's
right.
He's not going to be Pedro Mihajlovic.
But it could be, But if he could affect the signings in terms of, being very persuasive, somebody who might say, oh, I'd rather go to Barcelona or someplace else. Zidane comes to talk to you. You'd be like, okay, maybe, this is something I should do. So it's a good move. It's a good publicity, good PR move, definitely.
Let me ask all you guys something about the relegation race. Do you think that that there should be some sort of oath or pledge between clubs, because obviously there are incentives financially for teams to play well. But in the case of Barca and Real Madrid, with nothing to play for, Osasuna got to play those two squads the last two weekends, match days in La Liga. They get 6 points and they escape relegation. What do you guys think about that?
Betis situation, that was something that was being seen a long time. It was a long time in coming. I mean, it's the second time that they've been relegated this decade. We got to go back to 2001 when they were relegated and came back the following year. The team's gone through a huge, big-time financial crisis with Manuel Ruiz de Lopera, who is, if you want to look at him, I mean, he's probably one of the, according to Spanish media, one of the slimiest, one of the worst club presidents there is in Spain. I mean, he's really limited the fan base and the club members as far as their rights, as far as club members are concerned. They were reporting in Diario de Sevilla, which was the local Andalusian, the big Andalusian paper in Spain, that as soon as Betis drew, He was calling downstairs to see how many, how much was the gate. That was what he was worried about. He was more worried about what the money was than the thing. So first of all, the problem with Betis is something from the top going down. I mean, he screwed up quite a bit, and he's still riding on that legacy of rescuing the team back in the mid '90s when he saved them from that. Anonymous sports association law that they had in place in Spain. So I mean, it's unfortunate for a big club like Betis for that to happen. But in Spain, traditionally, teams have had incentives, like Cardiff mentioned, and it's just the luck of the draw. That's point in stage that, you know, Osasuna played two teams that really weren't fighting for anything. So, I mean, you know, you got to look at it. It's pretty much the luck of the draw.
Juan, is Venezuela, was he elected?
What happened was that they were having trouble. He came in. He saved them. He had been, him and his cronies invested a certain amount of money. So technically, he's been president for 17 years, and there's no way of getting him out as far as the club's concerned. So I mean, you know, right now, I mean, there was a huge manifestation on the pitch. I mean, a lot of, violence both inside the stadium, outside the stadium. They actually, fans went to his house after the game yesterday to start protesting and ask him to step down as club president. So, I mean, he is not a very liked man in Betis at all. Not at all, especially with the Betis supporters.
You compound the fact that their arch rival, Sevilla, had a good season. They were third place. They're going to Europe. That doesn't help at all. So, yeah, Betis, there's some changes that need to be made. And it's not like they don't have the talent. They have some good players there. They just... Or like Juan said, from top down, there's problems in the organization. And one thing about football is, you know, you might have the talent on the pitch to play well, but if that organization is not good, I mean, the whole overall, you know, ambiance of the team is not going to be well, and they're not going to perform well, and then you're going to get relegated. So,
I mean, let's not forget that Betis is 4 or 5 years removed from a Copa del Rey title. I mean, they were fighting for the La Liga title back in 2005 when Barcelona won it. They were even in the Champions League for that matter. They've been to the Champions League as many times as Sevilla has in the past couple of years. So, I mean, there's nothing that they need to envy about. Yes, the five titles have a big deal, but, you know, the team, ever since that team, you know, with the Ricardo Oliveiras and the Asuncaos and what have you, Joaquin, I mean, that team is... progressively gotten worse and worse and worse until, you know, you can only cheat death so many times and they happen to, you know, be on the wrong side of it this time around.
Yep, that's true. All right, let's anybody else have any kind of comment or quote about that? Because it's a pretty big story in Spain what happened
what they're talking about with Betis now is that that's going to be one of the teams that a lot of European sides are going to try and take advantage of it and try and pillage. To have a player like Ricardo Oliveira available is going to be huge for any team looking for a striker. It's going to be, you know, guys like Mariano Pavone, who was very limited as far as play. That's another guy that they're looking at. Yeah, I think Boca was considering bringing him back. So you go in and figure out, What other players are going to be looked at on the, you know, in the European market this summer?
And just to kind of finish up here on La Liga real quick. Let me ask everyone here: what team outside of Barcelona? Because we know what they did was great. Outside of Barcelona, what team stood out for you the most? Whether it was positive or negative, what team stood out for you the most? Let's start with Juan. What you got there?
I get, well, in positive sense, negative sense, or...
Either one, direction you want to take.
The team that I really was impressed with in a positive sense had to be Malaga. I guess it would be a tie between Malaga and Deportivo, because they did the most with the least. Having a young side like Malaga did... having guys like, and a mix of veterans like Luque in the mix, I mean, really made a big difference for a team like Malaga. And also Deportivo, you know, I mean, at the middle of the season where everybody was talking about, hey, baby Deportivo, they're the team, you know, having Andres Guardado and Ricky, and that whole gang of players. They were quite impressive. So, I mean, that's, you know, probably for me the two most impressive and most, the two teams that really stand out. As far as disappointments, you got to say Betis. So they had all the tools to really, I don't know about make it to European Cup positions, but not be in the position that they were throughout the season.
What about you, Kartik? What team stood out for you this in La Liga this year?
How about Sporting? They had a pretty surprisingly active away support when they would go on the road, and they avoided relegation, not by much. I guess they avoided relegation by one point, even though they got hammered a lot against the better teams in the league. They got hammered, but they always had vocal away support. I think there were a couple matches, including the match against Valladolid a few weeks back, where the opposing club couldn't accommodate all, or the homestanding club couldn't accommodate all the traveling fans. They avoided relegation, and that was surprising to me, because I had them last in the table coming into the season. I thought there was no way they were going to stay up, and as we said, Betis went down instead of them.
I would have to say,
as far as positive, I would
agree with Juan. Malaga, they were not too long ago, they were fighting for a spot in Europe, and they just missed out. But I definitely think one of the surprise teams was Malaga. And as far as a disappointment, and even though they got into the Champions League playoff, is Atletico Madrid. Every year they always have them up there trying to compete for the title, and it's almost like they always lose the games that they're not supposed to lose, you know?
Well, I gotta jump in here then, since I'm the last guy, because I'm going to have to disagree with Mike on that one issue. I thought that Atletico Madrid nabbing that last Champions League spot, they had, you know, an incredible end of the season where they won like 8 out of 10 games to get to that point. And, of course, they've got the gold shoe winner with Diego Forlán picking that up. You know, so that's a personal achievement there on his part. You know, I thought I'd mention that because we are talking about crosstown rivals. So that one, and then what I'd raised before with the disappointment of Batiste going down. So that was the opposite end of the spectrum. But before we move on, guys, just one real quick thing here about Real. I just wanted to find out what people's opinion. We talked about the new president, new manager. What about players coming and going? Because I had mentioned Valencia, and from what I'm hearing, and we're talking about players maybe being pilfered from Batiste. What about from Valencia? Do you guys see anything? I've been hearing maybe Villa, maybe David Silva might end up in Real, and the Dutch players that are at Real right now are going to be sort of given the boot.
Yeah, well, that's a good one. You know what? I don't know. You know what? I have a feeling that Silva and V are going to stay. I know that Valencia's having financial problems.
Villa the other day mentioned that he was going to fulfill his contract with Valencia.
Yeah. I mean, Valencia is in the Europa League. So, and they managed to turn it around toward the end and at least salvage, you know, a decent season. And if you think about it, you say Valencia could have been the one team that pushed Barcelona. It could have been with one team that pushed Barcelona till the last week of the season. They had the talent, and if you look at how they started the season, they looked real strong, you know. So I think there's too much talent there for them to break it up. I know the financial situation might trump that, but I think they're going to stay in. I think if they're smart, they might be able to add a couple players. You know, they might get them dirt cheap from Betis. You never know. I mean, Betis might just sell some good players to them cheap. You never know. And they could set themselves up for, you know, maybe a trophy next year. But I think they're going to stay. I think Silva and V are going to stay.
The big question is, how are they going to get that money to be able to pay the amount of debt that they've incurred the past couple of years? David Silva is being looked at by Juventus, obviously by Real Madrid. If there's a player that's probably not going to stay, it will be David Silva. He's just too much of a talent for any other team to not even think about going after. As far as the team as a whole, the way they finished the season, with the exception of the Espanyol game, I think that they should at least try and get them together, make a good run, both in domestically and in the Europa League, and take it from there.
Most definitely. All right, guys. let's shift now to, we mentioned, you know, Juventus. So now let's shift over to Serie A. As we all know, Inter won their 17th Scudetto. And, you know, Juventus, Milan, and Fiorentina finish in the top four, get those European spots. I guess I'll pose the same question to everybody else here. What was your impression? We'll start with the Serie A weekly man, Mr. Kevin Walker in Toronto. What were your impressions of the Serie A season this year and how it unfolded?
Surprise, disappointment, and enthusiastic for the next season. Mourinho, you know, he comes over. He comes over in his usual, I am the, you know, the special one routine. Doesn't floor the Italian press. In fact, they take an opposite position to him than what he's used to when he was in England and managing at Chelsea. So for the first half of the season, there was this constant ongoing discussion of him and his conflict with the media. That sort of took up a lot of things. Throughout, though, he had the tools to win the Scudetto with Inter. They've got so much talented Inter that they're already sort of retooled and ready for next year. They lose Figo, but let's be honest, Figo did not see much time this year. I love the man. You last time I mentioned this, you guys said you're going to be upset to see his wife on the sidelines. Well, hey, you never know. Maybe he will show up somewhere else in a you know, with a shirt and tie on, but. Inter's ready to go, and I think a lot of people had picked them. They were leading by the halfway point in the season, and as you know, there's sort of this ongoing understanding that if you're leading Serie A at the midpoint, then you're pretty well Scudetto winners. I think it's like 8 out of 10 times that's usually what happens. So we pretty well knew by the midpoint of the season Inter was going to win it. The other teams who were struggling were Roma. They had a lot of injuries throughout the season. Spalletti was always having to make adjustments to the squad. It's sad that they got knocked out. One of their big down point was similar to Juventus in a way. They got knocked out by Arsenal in that shootout at the Stadio Olimpico, and since that point they were, you know, their big challenge was, will they be playing in Europe next year? They've been able to secure sixth place, so they'll be in Europa. I'm sure that's not what they wanted, but they will be playing in Europe. And speaking of Juventus was a major disappointment, I think, for Juventus fans in Serie A this year. They, at the top, they're always expected to do well and challenge. In the end, they ended not only losing out to arch rivals Inter, but also AC Milan, and they finished third. They sacked their manager first time in 40 years before the end of the season. So Ranieri's gone, and right now they're looking to fill his shoes with somebody else. So there's going to be other challenges for Juventus. Pavel Nedved's gone, and they've got to find a replacement for him. And as Juan has mentioned, they've been looking at David Silva from Valencia to fill a position in midfield.
But they also got a player like Diego, who's dynamic in his own right. So I think, honestly, that...
Don't tell the Bremen fans that this year. They were so disappointed with him. He checked out. I guess he knew he was moving to Juve, and he checked out around midseason.
Hey, and today, Bremen, speaking of Bremen, just get all subject a lot, they signed Marcelo Martins.
Yeah, good signing.
That's going to be a good one for Bremen. But let's jump back to Serie A. I'm sorry about that. I think the biggest disappointment for me was definitely Roma. But, it was just like they never got the ball rolling. They just never got rolling until close to the end, and they were able to get the Europa League spot. Another team, Milan, you know, they were always mired in controversy. Ronaldinho, big-time underachiever. Kaká was not the Kaká of 2 years ago, even last year for that matter. You know, Beckham came in, was good for a while, and then he kind of fizzled away slowly but surely. So, I mean, there was never, you know, that all ended up, you know, leading to Carlo Ancelotti's, you know, eventually now being at Chelsea.
Yeah, we
kind of skimmed over that. That's the latest. He's gone, and Galliano has chosen the Brazilian Leonardo. So. You know, known by the players already with the club, familiar with the setup.
And the story goes that he, you know, he had a goodbye dinner with Ancelotti. So everything is, you know, is friendly, and it's not like what happened at Inter last year with Roberto Mancini.
Kevin, let me ask you, or Juan, just following up on what Juan said about Roma. They, to me, were far and away the biggest disappointment, one of the biggest disappointments in Europe this season. They never seemed to get things going, even when they had that little mini streak when they started so poorly, and then they went 7 or 8 games unbeaten. Even in those games, they didn't seem to have the continuity and the flow in their attack that they had the last few seasons. What do you guys think the future of AS Roma is? Because they're not the sort of club that can afford to spend too many seasons outside the Champions League. They're not a Juve, they're not a Milan, and they're not an Inter. So if they have another season or two like this, where does this drop them? Where does that potentially drop them in the pecking order for Serie A?
You want to take that first, George? Or
yeah, I'll hit it. I'll hit that first. wrong choice of words.
Well, all right.
I'll hit that first. That sounds like a gangbang. But anyway,
get out the way. Get out the way.
Yeah, get out the way. Stop your seconds. But I think the big question is with Roma is what are they going to do to either replace Totti, although he's still a few years from replacement. And what are they going? And Plan B is how are they going to help Totti? You know, because everything revolves around him. Roma this year underachieved drastically because they didn't really have the supporting cast to help him, and he was injured a lot. And you got to remember, he's not in his 20s anymore. He's, you know what, 32, 33. I mean, he's getting close to retirement, and they have to find a way to either help him out somehow by either more attacking help. Or play a more defensive style something. I mean, I keep hearing that Daniele De Rossi is the future or the heir apparent, and I just don't understand that. I don't see Daniele De Rossi as that type of player or someone who can carry the offensive load like Totti can. So, I don't know. Roma has to find – I think they really have to find a way to just strengthen their squad and take a lot of pressure off Roma. I mean, take a lot of pressure off Totti. They have to find some – either through their youth system or something.
George, let me ask you this, kind of as a follow-up. Do you think that Roma has gotten this far just because of one player? Because I kind of have that impression that he's been such a dynamic player for them. They're not really a club that's that has staying power aside from having, you know, just a great number 10.
Well, I mean, and I know Kevin can kind of give you a better history of it, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Kevin, but if you think about it, who was really the last really great offensive threat to be beside Totti was probably Batistuta when he came over from Fiorentina and helped them and helped Roma win the Scudetto a couple years back. I mean, ever since then, they really haven't had that one player to help him out. So, you know, they have to do something here. Now, maybe they have to change tactics. Maybe they have to be more defensive, you know, I mean, and do something. But I think Totti he is that one player. He's kind of like, and I know I've been watching basketball a lot lately, so he's kind of like LeBron James, if you want to make that comparison, where everything is around him. You know, he's the one, and he just doesn't have enough help to win enough trophies to keep Roma in that upper echelon or the top five teams.
You know, George, you just said they'd have to touch up their defense, and they do. Because if you just look at the goals against stat that they have, they allowed 61 goals in the regular season. Now, that number you'll find in the teams at the bottom, the relegated teams, the teams fighting relegation. So defense was definitely a problem. It's obvious.
Well, it's not only the defense. It's actually the whole lineup. They really need to revamp everything. And speaking about somebody who can partner with Totti or take over from him, I think Juan mentioned that Aquilani has been re-signed and a new contract. Also, everybody seems to always forget about Mirko Vucinic. I mean, this is somebody who was catching the eyes of a lot of managers, I think even Ferguson. And he's great. He obviously needs somebody to feed him like Totti. But up front, that you've already got half of a partnership, so they need somebody else to match up with him. From what I understand, his his contract has been extended, and he will be staying with the capital side. But in defense, you've got somebody like Panucci, who fell out with the club towards the end of the season, and then he stayed on. There's a point he had gone to his agent, I believe, and he was requesting a transfer from the club. Everything got patched up in the end, but he's, 31, 32, I think. And I think if anything,
yeah,
should change.
Yeah, I think he's 31 in his left foot.
Yeah, Panucci's old, man. He's up there.
Panucci's like in his mid to late 30s, like 34, 35. So, I mean,
The thing about Panucci, though, is he is also a team leader, and he's been around. I mean, he's played in the EPL. He played for Monaco. I believe he was even in Spain for a while. And so he's got a lot of experience, but they're going to need to find somebody to replace him. Philip Mexis, I've always liked Philip Mexis, even though he's a bit of a hothead. So he's in the back, and they've also got, I'm trying to figure out who the other center half is, Brazilian, but you were mentioning
Juan, right?
Juan, I should know that one. Anyway, George was mentioning who was the sort of like the partner or parent to Totti way back when, and well, Totti had ahead of him for quite a while, Montella. And he's still at the club, but he's one of those players you hardly see on the pitch, and why? Because he's an elder statesman of the club, and so he's another one that, who knows, maybe we won't see him next year. But he was somebody who had scored a fair amount of goals. So I would have actually have said that was the man that we would have known, you know, for Roma. And everybody remembers Batistuta, because they actually won the Scudetto when Batistuta made the move. But, Roma needs changing really up and down the lineup. It's possible that Parata is leaving. There's been talk about De Rossi actually going somewhere else. So, They're gonna need new defenders, midfielders. Jeremy Menez never really factored in very much this season, so he's somebody I hope that we'll see more time and we'll be able to work into the system. But everything's got to change, and I think even off the field, Juan, it's not only the lineup, but it's the ownership. As you may or may not know, they've been discussing a possible buyout with. Sort of a Middle East Swiss connection. So that would be, I think that would probably be beneficial to the club first and foremost to actually change that, the ownership. We'll have to keep on top of that and see what happens in the off season.
And I mean, Roma has, you know, they have the parts there to be a top, you know, a Scudetto champion. I mean, you have the stadium. I mean, it's a good club. For a ownership group to go in and get, you have passionate fans, you have a great stadium, capital city of one of the great nations in the world, one of the most historic cities in the world. So I mean, everything is set up, is there, the pieces are there for Roma to get good ownership, to have that infusion of capital, so that they can get good players around Totti and make a run and challenge the Inters and the Juve. So it's a good move.
One last thing. Mike mentioned the disappointment in Europe this year, and I really have to stress the fact that they were dealing with quite a lot of injuries, and so Spalletti really had his hands tied as far as what he could put on the field at a crucial point in the season, and in that, you know, especially in those final Champions League games. And really, what you saw was they actually had started it poorly. And they had lost to, you guys will have to help me out here, I forget the team from Eastern Europe that they were playing, but they had a one or two losses, and then they turned it all around, and they actually bested Chelsea.
Cluj.
Yes, that's right. Cluj actually beat Rome, I believe, in their first game in that group. And then they turned it... Right. It was an embarrassment, but they turned it around. They got the better of Bordeaux. They got the better of Chelsea, in my opinion. Chelsea was very lucky to get something out of that first game against Roma. And then I think they were beat at the Estadio Olimpico 3-1. So it started to look really good for them. They came out as leaders of that group. It fell apart when they had to face off against Arsenal, which was a shame, really. They should have actually won that showdown.
Yeah. Another team that I wanted to kind of bring up real quick is Fiorentina. I mean, Fiorentina, they really put on a late charge there to get that fourth position. And with a couple, with a couple of g- good signings here and there, I think you can watch out for Fiorentina. They have the offense with Mutu and Gilardino. You know, they have a decent midfield with Felipe Melo. You know, I think Fiorentina is a team to watch out for. I know they didn't finish the season the way they wanted to because they drew at Lecce and they lost to Milan. But I'm next year, that's the team I'm really going to keep my eye out on is Fiorentina. I kind of like what Pirandelli has going on up there. What do you guys think about a team that maybe that is setting up nice for next year? What do you see about that?
I have to agree.
Yeah.
I have to agree. Yeah, yeah. Fiorentina's, you know, they're set up nicely. A little gossip about them is that they were looking to snag Crespo from Inter, and from what I've heard, that he may end up in Genoa. So maybe it's because of the rumors of Diego Milito going to Inter. But Fiorentina were not very happy about that because they thought they had already had an agreement with Crespo. So that's a little bit of news for next year.
Oh, okay. And what about you, Kartik? What's your take about the Serie A and maybe who's setting up nice for next year? What do you think?
Well, I agree with Fiorentina really setting up nicely for next year. I think there's going to be a great deal of retooling Milan's going to need to do. Now, I think a little bit of an untold story, and Claudio Ranieri was sacked, but Juve has gotten back to a very, very high level of football, and I thought played very, very well, even in the Champions League, given their level of talent just 2 years after being in Serie B because of the scandal. And it's almost unfortunate for some of the other clubs in Serie A that Juve has reemerged so quickly and can challenge for the Scudetto next year. And I think they will challenge Inter next year a little more aggressively than they were able to this season. So that's a little bit of an unwritten story about how Juve's reemerged as this power. A little bit disappointed to see how poorly Lecce and Torino played this season. I had higher hopes for both those clubs. They both go down. Regina going down didn't surprise me as much.
All right. Definitely. What about you? What about you, Mike? What's your thoughts on the Serie A this year?
I definitely would have to agree with the Fiorentina pick. I think they're the team to watch out for next season. I mean, that's if they keep all their main components together. They really don't let go of any key players. But I definitely think Fiorentina's the next... For next season, Fiorentina's the team to watch out for.
And what about you, Juan? What you got?
Definitely Juve. I mean, if the whole... if they're able to reload the way that they're planning on reloading with Diego... And, a couple other, pieces that they might want to get here and there up front. You know, they got to try and find an answer, for an aging Del Piero as well as Trezeguet, who's not getting any younger as well. Juve would probably be a good team to look at, Fiorentina as well. A team that if they get their act straight could be dangerous,
Napoli.
Could be Napoli.
Yeah.
Could be. But it's a team that's just, by culture alone, just by the way, it's difficult to pinpoint why, but Napoli is one of those teams that when they're on fire, they're on fire. I mean, we'll see.
And they've got dedication.
Exactly.
They've got player dedication. They've got players that want to stay there, like Lavezzi, who's getting these offers and just refusing them. So,
yeah, I mean, that team has potential to do something real special, but like I said, there's got to be a certain level of commitment by not just the players, because that's obviously there, but also by the brass. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, we're gonna take a break, and then when we come back, we'll discuss some World Cup qualifiers and let you know what's happening with that. This is Mad About Football, and stay tuned. We got a hot one coming up next.
Racismo é burrice. Não seja um imbecil, não seja um ignorante, não se importe com a origem ou a cor do seu semelhante. O que que importa se ele é nordestino e você não? O que que importa se ele é preto e você branco? Aliás, branco no Brasil é difícil, porque...